Hello and welcome. This is Joshua Terry. Once again, you're listening to the Joshua Terry Podcast. I really appreciate it if you are listening. Today, I will be having my good friend Jacob Crumpler back on the show. We are going to be making some more picks for week two of the NFL season, as well as recapping our picks for week two and talking about some of the games. We had a good time talking about it. We even got a little cameo from his dog, Ryder. And so you might hear a little bit of snoring once I start talking about New England Patriots. I'm just happy it wasn't my buddy snoring. It was his dog, and his dog is obviously a thoroughbred Cowboys fan for some reason. So before we get into all that, recapping last night's game, we saw the Washington football team, Taylor Heinicke, lead them to technically a comeback win against the New York football Giants. It was a fun game, not necessarily a great game, but a fun game. We saw a lot of lead changes at the end of the game. We saw drop passes. We saw interceptions that weren't that great. We saw missed kicks and penalties, bringing it back so we can get another shot at it to win the game. Awesome game from them. I actually think Taylor Heinicke might be decent. I don't know if he should be starting his whole entire career, but if you're looking for a solid backup, you want a guy like Taylor Heinicke. This is the second time we've seen him in prime time. We saw him against the Buccaneers last year in that divisional game against the eventual Super Bowl champions. The guy is a gamer. He's a baller. He's not afraid of the moment. He's not afraid to throw the ball downfield. He's not mistake-free, but definitely a guy that's easy to root for this Washington team. So Washington moves to 1-1. Giants are 0-2 in a rough start, and I don't think it's going to get much easier for them. I think Daniel Jones had his best game in the last little bit. I mean, he was 4-0 leading into this game against the Washington team, and played his heart out, throwing the ball well down the field, and still doesn't come away with a victory. He had that drop by Slayton in the end zone. He kind of led him a little far, but Slayton caught up to it, hit him in the hand, and he still wasn't able to pull that ball in. Now, next week, they are playing the Falcons. So if there is a defense that they should be able to move on, it is this Atlanta Falcons team I'm super disappointed in. We'll talk about that in a little while. Tough for the New York Giants. One other thing we didn't get to touch on because I didn't get early in the week was that Monday night football game. We saw the Raiders. I don't know what it is about Monday night for the Raiders. It's always a super entertaining game. There was a couple years ago they were playing the Broncos, had three different game-winning plays get called back. Or maybe it was game-tying for a two-point conversion. It was something like that against the Broncos. Derek Carr threw it to Crabtree, called back, did it again, called back. They had three different game-winning or game-tying plays. This game was just as nuts. You see at the end of the game, it looks like they make the play. You know, they move the ball down, tie it up, go to overtime. Looks like he scores a touchdown. Everybody's already on the field, and they have to pull them back after review, and then throws it through the guy's hands, bounces off a defender's helmet into another defender. I can't even imagine how Derek Carr's feeling. They end up pulling it out in the end anyway after a great play by the Raiders defensive end, Carl Nassib. Now, what I found shocking, David Carr, what a lot of people might not know at all about David Carr, the guy is clutch. When it comes to game-winning drives, I don't think anybody's had more than him since 2015, since he came in the league. He's had more fourth-quarter comeback drives than any other quarterback in the NFL. And that's not anything anybody would really expect. He's seventh in the league in terms of total fourth quarter comebacks. And he's only been in the league for a while. He leads Joe Flacco. He leads Aaron Rodgers in terms of fourth quarter comebacks. So what does that tell you? I mean, number one, obviously, is Tom Brady. Brady's been in the league for 20 plus years. That's what you expect. Second, Ben Roethlisberger. Same deal. He's been in the league forever, been in a good division. Now, this is where it gets more interesting. Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan are 3-4 in active players in fourth quarter comebacks. Now, both of those guys haven't been on great teams. Both of those guys have historically had some of the worst defenses in the NFL. You see Russell Wilson in there. That guy's magical. He has had a long career of having... He had some really good defenses in the early part of his career. Later in his career, really bad. Then you get Andy Dalton is 23rd, which is shocking as well. Joe Flacco played for a long time. He's in his 12th season. He had 18 also, and they had some good defenses. I think part of that with Roethlisberger and Flacco is partly they've been in good divisions for most of their career. But shocking that Derek Carr is leading the league in fourth quarter game-winning drives since 2015. He's been in the league since 2014-15 season. Had 22 fourth quarter comebacks already. Nobody has had more in that span. What that tells me, these guys are talented, and when given a shot, they'll make plays like they need to. They're not afraid of the moment. Now, imagine how much better they would be if they had some good defenses. Now, I'm going to kind of flip this. You look at last season, you have the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees cannot throw the ball downfield. We're going to touch on this a little bit more when I have Jacob on. Just for a brief moment, we'll talk about it. But Brees, at the end of his career, was being carried by the system and his team. Now, it's not even... He is the system, partly. He knows where to go with the ball. But he physically was limited on where he could go with the ball. So if the guy's not wide open downfield, he's not throwing it there. He's not going to throw it deep. He was carried by a great defense last year. They made some plays consistently for that team. Sean Payton runs a great offense. We're seeing now this with Pittsburgh. Now, early in that game, it felt like Buffalo, who they played last week, it felt like Buffalo was going to run away with it. I think it was 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. They could barely move the ball the rest of the game. That Steelers defense is well coached. They're fired up all the time, and they're ready to go out there and make a play at any given moment. Now, Allen wasn't terrible, but he couldn't move the ball up the field. They also couldn't run the ball. Now, that's not the Bills' strength. It's not. But what we're seeing now from Roethlisberger is kind of sad, in my opinion, just because he's definitely fallen off of a cliff in terms of his arm skill. He can't throw the ball down the field. He completed 18 of 32 passes, and they still came away with the win. That percentage isn't that great, but he didn't have any picks, so he didn't make any mistakes. That's what we saw with Drew Brees at the end of his career. He didn't make mistakes because he knows where to go to the ball. He knows the pieces to the puzzle. That's something Brady always says. He knows, I know the key to the puzzle. Why would I stop right now? I know where to go. I've seen this all before. I've been doing it this long. It seems like Roethlisberger is in that Drew Brees spot of his career now. The ball's coming out wobbly, coming out slow, can't throw it deep, relying on amazing playmakers to make plays short. They don't use Claypool. Claypool can make plays downfield, but he can't get it to him downfield. Now, we'll see every now and then him throw a deep pass, but I'm just saying, you watch it, it's not old Big Ben. He's not got guys bouncing off of him like he did through his whole career. He's had a great career, 2 Super Bowl wins, been to 3. This is just something to keep an eye on throughout the season. Right now, he's averaging 5.8 yards per attempt. Now, we might see that go up. He's got guys that can get yards after the catch. Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson can always get open. Claypool, if you throw a jump ball to him, he's more than capable of making a play and getting yards after the catch. I just want to say, when it comes to these guys, though, don't take it for granted whenever they're gone and you see these guys come in that can't do it like they did. Now, we're seeing it with Winston now, a guy that can throw it downfield. So, who do the Steelers have in the backups coming up? They really don't have anybody. So, are they gonna really hold on to their backup from Oklahoma State? Is it gonna be the Ohio State kid? We got to see more from Big Ben if they're wanting to win long term, and I don't necessarily see it happening. Now, we'll see what we get from these other quarterbacks. They still have some young guys. Dwayne Haskins, they brought in after he got cut. He had some off-field issues. He never played great. He's had a lot of experience, though. Big arm. Mason Rudolph, same thing. A lot of experience for a backup quarterback. but I don't see them as long term. So if the Steelers don't win it this year, and I do not see it happening, you could definitely see some guys leaving on defense, guys wanting better on offense than what they're working with Roethlisberger. And it's not his fault. He's been playing this long. He's given a lot to the game and a lot to that team. But don't be shocked if we see this team lose their top spot in this division that they've been in for so long now. This defense, they just paid TJ Watt a lot of money. Not everybody's going to be able to get paid that much. So just something to keep an eye on in the coming seasons. In this season, I've got a lot of faith in Tomlin actually as a coach. I think he's good. He keeps that team ready at all times. But if they don't win it this year, I don't see them winning it long term. I think they are last year's Saints. They will definitely win some games in the regular season. They might rattle off some good ones they might rattle off a lot of wins in a row actually against any poor team that doesn't have a great offense, especially a great offensive line. They're definitely going to win some games. But similar to the Saints last year, once it buckles down in the postseason and these guys really force you to win at the line of scrimmage, force you to get it down the field, make a play, keeping guys in front of them, when they're getting in that postseason, they're not going to be able to do it. So anybody that's got the Steelers coming out of the AFC, I have my doubts. That's my main point. Coming up, we'll be talking about week two. Got three picks again. We went 1-2. Picked three games last week, and we're doing that again. Jacob Crumpler will be on soon. I really appreciate you listening. We'll be right back after a quick break. All right, everybody. I've got Jacob Crumpler back with me this week. Super excited to have you on. How's it going, Jacob?
Going good. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. How's life treating you still in Florida? You missing Arkansas yet after this win against Texas that we just had?
Not bad. Not bad. We were rooting them on over by the beach, so all right. It's all good.
Awesome. Well, we're not going to dilly-dally too much. First thing I want to do is talk about how our picks went last week. We actually, our record is tied. We made three picks apiece, and we're still at 1-2. Both of us had a losing record last week. Honestly, it's not easy what we do here. All right, it's not for the faint of heart. But 1-2 for both of us. What I want to do real quick is talk about how each of us did. We'll talk about what went wrong, you know, what we learned from these teams that we picked. And then what we'll do at the end is go ahead and make our picks for this week. So Jacob's best pick was Cardinals +3 against the Titans in Tennessee. So Jacob, what pushed you to bet on them in the beginning, actually?
I mean, to be honest, why wouldn't you bet on them? Look at their staff. Like I said last week, I mean, their defense came out looking pretty salty. I mean, Watts was leading at the linebacker position. He was really a general, like I thought he would be. And then their offense was just as amazing as they were last year.
Yeah.
Look at how Murray was able to get around the pocket and confuse those linemen and linebackers. They couldn't touch him. So, kudos to them, and they pulled it off.
Well, the one thing you didn't even mention, you know, their defense is probably still their bad spot if you had to pick one, because their offense is loaded with guys that can make plays. Their receiving core is pretty insane. AJ Green, I don't even know how many targets he had last year. They've got lots of plays for him and Rondale Moore. They didn't even use. They really played conservative at the end of the game, but their defense, Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. So he was the best player in the league last week, which definitely helps if Ryan Tannehill can't get his feet set. I mean, he's never really been a world beater on offense. He's great statistically whenever they're able to play his game, but they weren't able to do that with Chandler Jones in his face 5 different times, getting him for sacks and probably even more pressures than that. But you know, when your guys are getting at the quarterback like that, and then you got a guy like Buda Baker back there at least helping out your corners who might not be the best, their defense might be okay, even though they don't necessarily have the best secondary. They still got a ball hawk with Buda Baker back there also, so at least kind of picks up some of the slack that they might give. It was a domination. Cardinals won 38-13. They were 3-point underdogs in Tennessee. And one thing I love that you mentioned last week was that the Titans lost their offensive coordinator to be a head coach. And we'll talk about his new team here in a little bit. But, I mean, Tannehill spent basically the first 3 or 4 weeks whenever he first went to Tennessee, just learning behind Mariota with that offensive coordinator. When he took over at the starting position, he played great, and now he's got a new offensive coordinator. So he's been in that same system for a long time, and now you see that guy leave. Definitely some growing pains there, and their defense really, really was getting torched. Rondell Moore, I mentioned him. I think he had Christian Kirk had 2 touchdowns. Rondell Moore, they just had him like running bubble screens and stuff, and he is super versatile. But Edmonds, I think you have Edmonds in fantasy. Was out there receiving everything, splitting out wide, looking all over the place, and then Hopkins always great. Had 2 touchdowns. You know, if the Titans don't get their running game going, they're never really they're not a huge threat, because they really thrive off that play action game. Tannehill was never really able to get that going. Anything else you want to say about that game at all?
No. Yeah. Awesome. You were right about Chandler on his sacks. He was definitely the force that to be reckoned with.
Yeah, Chandler Jones, he's a monster, and he's in a contract year, so he's definitely trying to get paid, and that's a good way to get started on there, getting 5 sacks in a game. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I know the Cardinals play against Minnesota this coming weekend, so we'll have to see what the line is on that. It might be a game to look at. Now, your worst pick. You were at this game, and you picked the Packers -3.5. What went wrong? You were actually in Jacksonville for this.
Yes, I was. Tell you what went wrong. Everything. There's nothing to pinpoint. Everything went wrong. If it could go wrong, it went wrong for the Packers, and I'll tell you what. It was a landslide, because the Saints showed up to play. The defense showed up to play. Jameis Winston actually has eyeballs to see. So it was a big victory for the Saints, and the Packers weren't even in the game. It was kind of a joke.
Yeah. So what was the crowd like there? Were there more Saints or Packers fans, do you think?
It was completely mixed. I feel like a lot of the Saints people either drove or flew down from the people that we talked to, but there's actually a lot of people from Wisconsin that retired and moved to Florida. So there's actually quite a few Packers fans. Very, very upset Packers fans. So.
Yeah. Now, whenever you were there, I know you picked the Packers. Were you rooting for them to win so you'd be right, or were you going for the Saints more?
Neither team, really. When the Saints started doing good, I started going for them. I just like to see athletes compete, and the Saints were the only ones competing. So
yeah, so you're a fair weather fan, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, unless it's the Cowboys and it's all boys.
Yeah. Well, the Saints definitely had it rough having to travel, but they really brought it to those Green Bay Packers, and they're playing on the road this weekend. So that's 2 straight games start the season without a home game. If they can go out of that 2-0, they're playing the Panthers in Carolina this week. They definitely have a good chance to win that game. If they can come out 2-0, that's really good before they even make it to their home field. Superdome's going to be nuts when they finally get to play there. One thing I noticed, obviously, and I always mention this when I talk about Breeze and the Saints, is they never threw the ball downfield with him, and I saw a stat that's pretty nuts. Winston, on that long touchdown pass that he had at the end of the game, had 50 air yards. Breeze never had a 50-air-yard pass in his career with the Saints. So just the fact that they have that capability now to throw it downfield with Sean Payton running that offense, and if Winston, I mean, it's super, everybody says it, if he's able to clean up the picks, he's a super talented guy. He throws a really good deep ball. Their offense could be really good. They still got great playmakers, and Michael Thomas hasn't even seen the field yet. And, I mean, we'll see what happens with him if he even does come out there. But, you know, they still have Kamara. They've got all these receivers who always just seem to make plays. And their defense is still solid. They don't have the best defense, especially in their secondary, but they've got playmakers at every level. You know, Cameron Jordan, DeMario Davis, and then on the outside, LaMarcus Lattimore. Like, they've got playmakers everywhere. I'm jealous that you got to go and see that in person. So definitely see them in the future being a threat if their defense keeps playing as good as it did. Now, when it came to my picks, my best one easily was Denver minus the Giants. Obviously, it was the only one that I had that actually worked out. The Bengals-Vikings game had a chance. It went to overtime. Talk about that in a little bit. Denver was my best pick. They were 3-point favorites in New York. And that game was not as close as the score was. I think they still won by 14 points. And they still should have had. They left points on the table. KJ Hamler dropped a huge touchdown pass in the end zone. He was wide open. Deep ball. Bridgewater doesn't even really throw the ball that deep, and he launched a bullet. I mean, he rushed a bomb out there, and Hamler dropped it. So, now, you watched the Giants game last night. Daniel Jones actually looked pretty good, at least compared to the first week, and they still weren't able to pull out the victory. What did you think about how the Giants actually looked last night?
I think they looked really good. I think the real problem with last night for the Giants was Saquon. He wasn't getting fed the ball, but I mean, honestly, the Washington defense was kind of stopping him where, you know, in his tracks. He had one, I think, run for 30 plus yards, but that was it.
Yeah.
That was his biggest gain of the night. And I think he ended the night with like 48 or 52 yards.
So. Do you know how many touches he had?
Not many.
Not many. Well, it's weird. It still feels like he's trying to get in a rhythm, and it's hard, you know. It's his first year back from tearing an ACL. You did that in baseball, and you don't even have to cut constantly. Imagine you're seeing these guys, you know, running at you, and you got to make a move, and you're worried that your knee's going to pop out again. I'm sure his timing's probably still not there. But, yeah, back to our picks from last week. The worst pick I had, definitely not even close, biggest disappointment of week one for me was the Falcons. I thought after they got a new head coach, Arthur Smith from the Titans, and they drafted Kyle Pitts, they've already got Calvin Ridley, and then they brought in Mike Davis, who's a solid runner, not a world beater, you know. I thought they were going to be explosive. I thought they were going to run the ball, run some play action. Maybe in the first drive, it looked like they might, and then all of a sudden, the Eagles' defense I don't even know what to compare them to. Their defense stepped up, and Falcons couldn't move the ball, scored 6 points for that game. And then on the other side, the Falcons defense I never thought was going to be great. I thought that the Eagles would be a fine matchup. I didn't think Jalen Hurts was going to play like he did. I mean, the guy last season had 6 touchdowns, 4 picks in only a couple games. But I guess I didn't think about, you know, that full off season getting trained up in this offense, and they're building it around him. They're running almost like a college offense. And I mean, he had no picks. He's 27 for 35, 264. So nothing crazy, but very consistent. You know, not forcing it. And he runs the ball well too. And they got two receivers that are young, with Devontae Smith, the guy that won the Heisman last year, caught a touchdown. And Jalen Reagor, their first round pick, who barely played last year, he caught a touchdown too. So, you being a Cowboys fan, we've briefly touched on all three of those teams with the, you know, the game last night, the Giants and the Washington football team. Washington pulled that game out last night, and then you see the Eagles. Are you worried about your Cowboys not being able to pull this division out? Because a lot of people had them as penciled in to win that division.
Yeah, no, I still want to see the season play out, and I tell you what, you know, yeah, the Eagles had a good game, but look at the Cowboys in the Buccaneers game last week. Great game, probably one of the best games of the season. I think that's going to go down as one of the best games until playoff time. But I mean, I was very happy with how we did, and kind of like the Giants game, our running game wasn't there. You know, add Zeke, give him a 100-yard day or even an 80-yard day with a touchdown. That changes things. But Dak looked really good. Our defense looked okay. Could have been better. But, you know, overall, I think we still have a chance. I mean, our division is going to be tougher this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, even if these teams that they're playing aren't the best in the league, I think for that division, they're very close to each other. Now, technically, right now, Washington has the lead in the division at 1-1. They're the only one they don't. They're behind the Eagles with 1-0. Cowboys actually don't even play Washington. Just looking at the schedule, they don't play them for a while. So it'll be a while before they even see them. But you seem confident in your boys being able to pull it out. Their offense, I agree with you, Cowboys' offense should be, especially if they continue like last week and then they can establish a run game. Zeke looks good. I know they didn't give him a ball a lot last week. Hard to get a rhythm. they've got so many weapons. Similar to what you see with Washington's defense, on just there's so many guys that can make plays. You know, they got Fuller last year from the, they got him this year from the Bears. And they got Chase Young, obviously, who hasn't been as good as he had been before. In week one, I don't think he got a single pressure on Justin Herbert. What's his name? They had a rookie left tackle in the Chargers who I think gave up zero pressures, zero sacks. So, I mean, I think the Cowboys would stack up well as long as their offensive line is there. We'll see. Anyway, moving forward, I understand we wanted to talk about the Bengals quickly. Now, I picked them to lose. I thought the Vikings were going to win decently. I didn't think Burrow was going to look as good as he did. They won in overtime. Now, the Bengals really got kind of lucky with some of the foul calls at the end of the game. But when you're looking at it at the end of the day, what are you looking for? Jamar Chase and Burrow got in a good rhythm. Deep pass touchdown to Jamar Chase on the right side of the end zone. Burrow looked like he was calm again. He didn't look scared. His knee got torn up last year. They still got sacked, I think, 5 times. And they come away with a victory in overtime in a game that they were losing at the beginning. I thought that if the Vikings took a lead, they were going to be able to run the ball and hold on to it. They did not do that. Bengals defense played decent enough. But Burrow was shocking to me how consistent he was in the pocket, throwing it without fear. You don't see that normally. Now, when you tore your ACL, how long do you think it took you to actually feel comfortable moving again?
Probably about the 8th, 9th month mark. Was because I was on a fast pace to kind of get back in shape. They definitely told me to wear my brace. But I think when you wear your brace, you actually think about it, and that's when you can hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. So I had to really get myself out of my comfort zone and not wear the brace. And that's what helped me. And obviously that's what they're doing. They're not wearing the brace, which is, I think is best, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he tore his ACL and his MCL. He had his surgery December the 2nd. So it's only been 9 months, right? Basically, he started throwing again in February. So his recovery was fast, but he doesn't even look rusty. It's shocking to me. So that's a guy I might not bet against anymore, just because at the very least he can keep you in a game. Just because he's got weapons on the outside. I just hope they can block for him. I mean, they gave up a lot of sacks. I hope that he can stay healthy. Now, it's really all I got to say about the picks that I made. Now, I mean, we talked a little bit about the Eagles and we talked about the Falcons game. So let's go ahead and move on to the picks that we've got. I know one of them is the Bengals that you have this week. Go ahead and tell us what you're thinking with the Bengals in Chicago.
Yeah, no, I like the Bengals on the road at Chicago. They are the underdog coming in at 2.5. But I think they will outright win this game. I think they're going to beat Chicago on the road. I think it'll be a close game, but I think they will pull it out. Like you said, Burrows looks really good, looks comfortable in the pocket. Receivers are all healthy and they're looking good. But an interesting thing to go off of, since the Bengals' offense is looking so good, Mixon is looking really good. He had a great game first week.
Yep.
Chicago, they have 6. Six defensive players that are questionable, and a tight end, Jimmy Graham, he's out. Larry Brown, an offensive lineman, he's out. And Eddie Goldman, he's a defensive lineman, he's doubtful. They don't think he's going to play. So they have several guys that are on injury report. So we'll see how that pans out for Chicago. I think that's going to play a big role in the Bengals' win. The Bengals are banged up a little bit. It's not as much. They've got 2 guys out, safety and a quarterback. So that could hurt their defense. But for the most part, I think Chicago's hurting in a lot of areas where they wish they weren't going into this week two against Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that for Chicago, Marquise Goodwin is questionable. I'm pretty sure he led them in receiving last week. I think he only had like 45 yards. But he's a fast receiver. He's always hurt. He played in
San Francisco for a long time. The guy is a speed demon. When he gets the ball in space, he's great with the ball in his hands, but he's dealt with injuries for a while. That could definitely be a loss for them. Now, they still have good receivers with Mooney for Chicago, I think is excellent receiver. There were so many times last year you'd watch Trubisky miss him, and he was a rookie last year, and he was blowing guys out in coverage, and Trubisky wouldn't get it to him. Dalton, last week, you know, they played a really good Rams defense, and Chicago did. Dalton didn't look terrible, but he didn't do anything impressive is the problem. I mean, he had good completion percentage, but, you know, his yards per attempt is it's very low. I mean, it's like 5.5, 6 yards per attempt, which is not what you're looking for in the tops of the league. I could do the math real quick, but, you know, you're wanting somewhere between 7 and 8. You want somebody that throws the ball down the field and makes a play for their offense. Now, sometimes, obviously, you do just got to, every now and then, hit your check down, hit the open guy. But the difference here, Joe Burrow, he ends up with, let's just do it. He went, I should have just had this up. 261, 27 throws for Burrow last week. So, you know, you just do that math. He was averaging almost 10 yards per attempt. That's 9.8 yards per attempt for Burrow. They're throwing the ball down the field. Mixon, you mentioned, had 29 carries, 127 yards. That does nothing but help Joe Burrow as well. And honestly, you keep that defense honest running the ball, he's not going to get hit as much. Now, to contrast that, Andy Dalton only had 206 yards on 38 throws, almost 40 throws. And he averages up to 5.4 yards per attempt. Now, yards per attempt is not the be-all, end-all on quarterbacks. You know, last year, I think number one was Ryan Tannehill. A lot of their stuff, they're doing it off the run. They don't win if they're not running the ball. Well, you know, you got to see that from your quarterback. So I actually like your pick. I know they're in Chicago. I think Chicago's a good home field advantage. But what's the line again?
It's 2.5.
2.5. I think your biggest thing you got to worry about, David Montgomery. The guy is quick. He looks better. Last year at the end of the season, he started going on a tear. Do you remember seeing him at the end of the year last year?
Yeah, no, he looked good.
He had four or five games in a row. I mean, he's running it all over people. And he's a receiver out of the backfield. They rarely even have to take him out. I mean, he's kind of short, but he kind of bulldozes people at the same time. I'll go ahead and go on with my first pick. Unless, did you have anything else you wanted to say about that one?
The only thing else that I was going to say is funny that you brought up Goodwin and Mooney. They are also on the questionable list with a quad and a back injury. So we'll see how that goes.
Dang. Well, best of luck to them. I actually do like your pick. I didn't pick that as one of mine. I'm going to just go with the underdog that I picked first. Now, I'm not even going to go into too much detail about this pick. The only reason I picked it is just because I think the number is too high. And this could be totally wrong. This game might be a blowout. But the Houston Texans are going to Cleveland. And I think Cleveland's got a great roster. They got a top five roster in the league. Baker Mayfield is just fine. He had 3 really bad possessions last week against the Chiefs, who are a fantastic team. They let them come back, obviously. But 13 points is the line. I just think that's too many points when Houston is not as terrible as we thought. Now, this might just be a week one overreaction. It's hard to tell. Obviously, we'll find out. But I feel like 13 points is too much. Houston runs the ball well. Tyrod Taylor is consistent. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I don't think he's going to give the game away against this Browns team, who does have a great defense. But I feel like with Mark Ingram, and they even got Philip Lindsay back there running the ball well last week, they got a lot of guys. And Brandon Cooks, he was getting open left and right. I've never seen Brandon Cooks make a catch in traffic. He played for the Patriots for a season, and that's my favorite team. And he jumped over 2 guys last week pulling in a catch, so he's locked in. They got a new coach. They're trying to move forward away from this Watson mess and see how they can move forward. But I just feel like 13 points is too much against this Browns team, who I think is very talented. I might be wrong. This game could be a 21-point blowout like we thought the Houston Texans would look, but they're not the least talented roster in the league, in my opinion. I don't think they're as bad as people think. So 13 points just feels like too much, even though they're in Cleveland. You have any thoughts on that one?
No, I think that's a decent pick. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So what you got? What's your second pick?
All right, my second pick is I'm going along with, I forgot his name. I think it was Bart Scott. Yeah, Bart Scott, ESPN analyst, said if 49ers lose to the Eagles, he will shave his eyebrow. I tell you what, Bart Scott, you're going to be shaving your eyebrow because the Eagles are going to pull this off. Jalen Hurts looks like he's locked in, like you said. He's not just an outstanding guy stat-wise, but he gets the job done. And I think the fact that they drafted Devontae Smith is a big it's a big, I don't know, warning sign of, you know, good things to come for the Eagles. I think they meshed really well week one. Like I said, the defense showed up. They showed out. And I think they're going to beat San Francisco. Let me see this game. Let's see.
They're playing it in Philadelphia.
At Philadelphia. What a bigger, you know, even bigger, you know, I'm losing it, Joshua.
Home field advantage?
Home field advantage, yeah. Big home field advantage there. I think the line is only negative. Yeah, I think the line's only 3 right here. So I think they're going to win. It'll be a close game, but I think the Eagles pull this off to a very talented 49ers team. But yeah. I think the Eagles get the edge right there.
Well, one thing we saw last week at the end of that Niners game, the Niners really tried to let Lions back in the game. You know, I think, what is it, Deebo Samuel fumbled the ball after the Lions all of a sudden started storming back. They were down 38-10 at one point. The game was over. They really tried to let the Lions back in the game. Now, say what you want about that game. It was crazy. You know, sometimes momentum swings real quick and you know, the crazier it gets. I mean, we saw that with that Raiders game on Monday night. You know, sometimes it just gets nuts out there, and teams could storm back real quick if the right things go their way. You saw some turnovers by the 49ers. If they play like they did at the end of that game, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I still feel like their defense is much better than the Eagles' offense. Now, like I said, if Hurts, though, plays as good as he did last week and their weapons continue to get open and make it easier for him, they seem well-coached for a team with a brand-new coach, too. So I was shocked by them. I don't see it as inconceivable that they win at home. Or at least cover that spread. It could be a close game. So, I don't hate either of your picks. Now, my second pick. I've got the Los Angeles Rams -3.5 in Indianapolis. Now, I wish that this was 3. I wish that it was 3 points. This is a good one. You might throw in a tease if you really like the Rams. I still just don't think that the Colts can keep up. The Rams last week looked like world beaters. They looked like they're going to win the Super Bowl, in my opinion. And they played a decent Bears team, playoff team last year, with an upgrade at quarterback. Made the Bears look silly. Matthew Stafford looked so comfortable in this offense. It was his first game in game action. Everything's been practice. He didn't play any preseason. Throwing the ball downfield. I think he had like 5 or 6 incompletions last week against the Bears. Now, they are on the road, but they're in a dome. So it's not, I don't feel like it's the hugest weather advantage or anything, especially in this time of year anyway. So that's not a factor. Other than the fact that, you know, their fans aren't going to be there, they don't really have that big of a home and field advantage normally anyway until this last week. So there's not a whole lot of LA Rams fan, even though they're a huge team, a huge city. You know, they're not the biggest fan base in the world. So they're kind of used to that, in my opinion. Matthew Stafford last week, 20 for 26 for 321 yards and 3 touchdowns. The first play of the game, play action pass, over the top, touchdown. This offense is insane. Sean McVay is a mastermind, and I think he's super happy with Matthew Stafford. And they still have some of the best playmakers on defense that you could ask for, with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, they've got so many guys that are top of their class in this NFL. So I was shocked. I thought it was going to be 7-8 point favorites because, you know, Indianapolis did not look great last year. I mean, last week. It could be an overreaction to week one that people, I mean, we'll see. That happens all the time. Teams that look amazing and then a team that looks bad, and then they kind of go back to where they should be. The Colts aren't a terrible team. The Colts have a good defense. Carson Wentz has been in this offense before and been successful in this offense. What also gives me pause, though, about the Colts is they don't have a lot of playmakers on the outside to make it easier for Wentz right now. They've got a good running back. They've got two good running backs with Hines and Jonathan Taylor. But both of their wide receivers right now, their starting receivers, Paris Campbell and Michael Pittman, are both questionable to play and limited in practice. you got Jalen Ramsey on you, if you're not 100%, you're probably not getting open that often. And that's not even mentioning what Aaron Donald does over the middle of the in the defensive line, wrecking offensive lines basically every play. So 3.5 doesn't feel like too much to swallow for me. I'm happy even though they're on the road. I feel like they're such a better team. If this is at home, this might be 8 or 9 point spread. I'm happy taking the Rams there.
Yeah, I like it. But yeah, dude. Stafford looks really good in that offense. I agree.
Yeah. And they want to throw the ball downfield and score quickly. And I still think, they didn't really run the ball a whole lot last week, but I still think Daryl Henderson's very capable. They've got some of the best receivers with Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and the tight end, Higbee. He's very above average tight end, in my opinion. I think this game could get ugly, and then if that happens, who knows what we'll see from Wentz. You know, they've got a great offensive line in Indianapolis. I don't think he's going to be on the ground every play. But I just think for this game, they're lacking the playmakers to keep up with this offense, and that's kind of my main point there. So what's your last pick, third pick of the week?
Third pick. I'm going to make it interesting right here. We are picking the Seahawks at home against the Tennessee Titans. They are a 6.5-point favorite, and I think they complete that spread, and I think they went outright on this. I didn't like what I saw from the Tennessee Titans last week. I think Tannehill and the offense are going to still be figuring things out for the next couple of weeks. I don't know how much that offensive coordinator position had to do with the game, but I think it had a lot to do with it. But I don't know. That's just me. But I think they've got a lot of things to figure out, and I think the Seahawks are ready to roll, and they are focused on getting back to another Super Bowl. Look at their receiving core. I think both Tyler Lockett and DK saw a lot of action. I think Metcalf had 60 yards and a touchdown, and Tyler Lockett had 100 yards for two long touchdowns.
Well, don't even forget, they went out and got Gerald Everett, who's very good receiving tight end also. Metcalf didn't really do a whole lot early in the game, but when you have as many good receivers as that, they might not start off the game strong. But if you got one going good in the first half and the other going in the second half, you're not even that worried about it. Both guys have such good chemistry with Wilson also. Now, the best thing I like about that pick for you is that the Seahawks are at home. I find it shocking to believe. Now, it is 6.5, which is a lot of points, and the Titans are not a bad team. They looked really bad last week. I don't think they're terrible. But you're seeing similar offenses with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. So we've already seen them struggle with this kind of quarterback that can move around in the pocket, because they don't have a lot of pass rushers in Tennessee. They're in Seattle, though. I find it hard to believe, because normally, like I mentioned before, normally it's a 6-point swing for the home team. So I find it hard to believe that the Seahawks would only be favored by 0.5 point if they were in Tennessee, especially after what we saw last week. Now, this could be an overreaction. Seahawks defense is still not that great. They've definitely improved over early last year when they were one of the worst in the league. But it comes down to me to that Tennessee running game. If Tennessee can't run the ball, there's no chance. So I actually agree with you. I definitely think Seahawks are winning this game. How close it is, I'm not so sure. 6.5 does feel like a lot of points. You have anything else you want to mention on that one?
No, I think that is a little bit of a spread, but I think the Seahawks can cover if they come to play and the Tennessee Titans just kind of show up. I just think they're going to struggle for the next couple of weeks, but,
Yeah. We've mentioned it. This will be the third time. They're definitely missing that offensive coordinator that they had there. I don't understand why he was so terrible getting that Falcons offense, but we're not even going to talk about that now. Okay, my last pick. Now, I don't know why I keep saying this, because I keep doing the opposite of what I'm saying. I keep saying I don't like picking big favorites. I'd rather pick an underdog in these games. But I'm picking my team. I'm picking the Patriots right now. They're in New York against the Jets. Now, what's scaring me the most now is this line keeps moving, which tells me there is so much money on the Patriots right now. The line right now is 6 points. It was at week opening, it was 4.5. Now, the Patriots lost last week to the Dolphins by 1 point. What is that? Was that you?
What's that?
Was that you just snoring there just now? I get talking about Ryder. That was your dog. Oh my gosh, he hears me talking about the Patriots, and then he's like, "Oh, here we go."
Yeah,
you're good. So everybody, anybody listening, that was our mascot Ryder there. Sorry, is what I was saying. The Patriots lost by a point last week to the Miami Dolphins. Now, they definitely should have won that game. They gave the ball away. They got too many penalties. I'm not even going to get into it. They definitely should have won that game against the Dolphins last week. Mac Jones looked terrific, and they didn't even take a lot of risks with him. I definitely think they're going to open up against this defense, or against this New York Jets defense. I'm not a fan of this New York Jets team. I think they're a couple of years away. I think they have potential. But here's the thing. They lost Becton, one of their best linebackers. They've also got really no real threats on their defense. Since they've traded Jamal Adams, they don't have anybody that's just like, you know, a blue chip guy that just makes plays constantly. Now, at the end of the year, we'll probably see somebody emerge as that leader for that defense. They still are finding themselves. They've got a new coach with Robert Saleh. I think he's good. They're going to try to be exotic on defense, try to fool Mac Jones, but I feel like Patriots are ready to really unleash what they see in Mac Jones. I definitely don't see the Patriots fumbling the ball twice on offense, giving the ball away. 6 points is a lot, especially on the road. I feel like Patriots are not going to go on two. Belichick's not going to let that happen. Mac Jones is still, I mean, he was the best rookie last week in terms of numbers. Zach Wilson was decent. He makes some mistakes. I feel like Belichick against a rookie, for one, always spells trouble. They're in division. They hate the Jets. Belichick hates the Jets. And I feel like they're just going to... I feel like they could win this game by 21 points, personally. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm going to be really upset. But at the end of the day, Patriots off defensive line, I think, is top five in the league. Their front seven is stacked, and I think they're going to be able to pressure Zach Wilson plenty in this game. He took a bunch of sacks last week also. I think Judon and especially Uche coming off that right side of the defensive line is going to give them some problems for the Jets. I don't think they're going to be able to score a whole lot unless Zach Wilson just gets out of the pocket and makes some plays against their weaker secondary for the Pats. 6 points, I don't feel too bad about, even though they're in New York. And even though the line keeps moving. Those are the only things that are giving me pause, but I'm still confident enough in this Patriots team. I could go on about it forever, so I'm going to let you talk. Go ahead.
About that game that you picked?
Yeah, just, yeah.
No, yeah. What I was going to say was, it's kind of interesting. I actually almost chose the Jets as pretty much an upset right here.
Okay, why would you even consider that?
I knew you're a Patriots fan, and I knew if I was right, it would just grind your gears all year.
So you would have just done it to make me mad.
Yeah, just on the slight chance that they would, yeah, lose. So, man, I'm a Wilson. What's
his Zach name? Wilson?
Yeah, Wilson, right?
Yeah,
Zach Wilson. I'm a Wilson fan. I think he's
I like him too.
I think he's doing good stuff.
I think he'll be really good. That guy can. He's got a crazy arm on him. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, he can get out of the pocket and throw it on the run on a dime, and you know, he doesn't seem scared. He actually looks poised for a young guy. He doesn't look like he's afraid out there. I just don't think he's going to be able to keep his feet underneath him in this game.
That's
going to be really the biggest problem. I mean, tell me who their running back is without looking it up. Who's their starting running back there?
Is it Coleman?
It's Tevin Coleman. Yeah. I'm shocked that you knew that. It's just because you play fantasy. If you didn't play fantasy football, you wouldn't know that. Most people, I mean, they don't run the ball. Miami last week kept it to a low-scoring game. I mean, it was 17-16, so, you know, I mean, we'll see, obviously. But I just don't see Zach Wilson being able to put up a whole bunch of points on this Patriots defense. So, to recap, our picks for this week, Jacob's picks were, drum roll, I don't have a drum roll. Okay, Jacob's picks for this week were Eagles +3 at home against the 49ers, Bengals +2.5 in Chicago against the Bears, and then the Seahawks -6.5, so they got to win by a touchdown to cover that against the Titans. So he's very confident in Russell, Hustle, and Bustle Wilson. My picks, Patriots -5.5 at the Jets, Houston +13 at the Browns, and Rams -3.5 at Indianapolis. Jacob, out of all of your picks, or even out of my picks, what's your favorite one for this week?
Let's see. Oh man, I don't. My favorite one, like the one I think is gonna win, no, like hands down.
Your lock. What's your lock?
I would choose my lock being. Oh man, put me on a spot like this. I would lock down the Seahawks game.
You really think they're gonna blow them out?
I think by a touchdown. I'm safe calling them winning by a touchdown.
Okay. They're very confident in that team. I'll go ahead and pick a lock right now. I'm picking Rams at Indy. I think we should go ahead and call it a night. You have anything else you want to say before we go?
Hey, go Cowboys.
All right, man. We'll see how we're doing at next week. I'm pretty confident in us this week. I actually think we're both going to do pretty decent. I think we're going to be pretty decent this week. So we will see y'all. We won't see y'all. We'll hear from us again next week. We'll try to do it earlier in the week, I think, this next week. Let's try to shoot for Wednesday night if possible. We'll see what's going on with our schedules. But that way we can get a little bit of a fresher recap instead of so late in the week. We'll see. We'll see. All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right. Peace.
See ya. Thanks again for listening. I really appreciate it. This was fun. A little bit longer than what we normally do, but once again, if you've made it to the end, I really appreciate it. Looking forward to having Jacob back on again next week. Hopefully our schedules work out. We might be able to do it earlier in the week, like we said. Now, also, shout out to my good friend, Jacob Thomas, frequent listener of the podcast. He's probably the one that keeps up with it more than anybody, always asking me, where's the next one? I got more coming, man. I appreciate it. Also, Steven Sellers over in North Carolina, I appreciate the listen. And to whoever you people are in Germany that keep listening to me, you're awesome. I really appreciate it. Keep sharing it with everybody that you can. Anybody that speaks English over there, I really appreciate your listens. It means a lot to me. I'm just doing this in the back bedroom of my house that we don't use for anything else. So it means a lot to me. Appreciate any feedback that y'all give me. I love it when people tell me I'm wrong. I actually don't love it, but I'll tell you why I'm right even if I am wrong. That's one of my things that I like to do. Coming up in the podcast pretty soon, I'm going to get my good friend Steven back on, like I just said, from North Carolina. He is the one that we did Zack Snyder's Justice League review with. We got to do some more movie podcasts up here. If you have a movie request, email me at joshuaterry6@gmail.com. We want to do stuff that we've maybe not seen before, maybe something that we have. It doesn't really matter, but something that's worth talking about to you. You know, send it in. Let us know. Or if you've got my social media, Joshua Terry Podcast at Instagram, you can just find me _ Joshua Terry on Instagram. It's my personal. Same thing, I believe, with my Twitter handle, still _ Joshua Terry, if I'm remembering right. Definitely hook up with me on any of those sites. I would love to get your feedback, get your requests on stuff to talk about. I want to keep this up. It's fun. Please let me know how you're thinking. I really appreciate any feedback that you can give me. That's all I got today. Y'all stay safe out there. Thank you again for listening, and I'm excited to see y'all again soon.